Hey there, world and wordsmiths. This is Nina Porzuki here for a quick midweek podcast. So the news of the Paris and Beirut bombings has been on all of our minds. And throughout the coverage, one word seems to keep popping up. Daesh. This is the name, not ISIS or ISIL or Islamic State, but Daesh, that you may have heard French President François Hollande use to describe the, quote, jihadist army who committed the Paris attacks.
Ils sont le fait d'une armée djihadiste, le groupe Daesh, qui nous combat.
And for the last year, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry has also used the word Daesh.
One thing is certain. Daesh will continue to spread until or unless it is stopped.
This term is slowly being adopted by international leaders.
France has actually been a leader on this outside of the Middle East.
This is Zeba Khan. She writes about Islam and politics and actually wrote an article for the Boston Globe about the term Daesh a year ago, around the time that Kerry adopted the term.
France has been calling the terrorist Daesh since last year. Since then, Australia as well has taken up the term, as has Turkey. But more important to me than any of those states is the fact that the people on the ground who face a daily brunt of brutality from these terrorists, they call them Daesh.
Activists on the ground in Syria have been referring to the group that many of us know as ISIS as this term since 2013, and we're going to get more about that in the podcast. But now it seems that Western leaders are starting more and more to use the term. But the media, it's been all over the place in describing what it means and how to pronounce it, for that matter. Arabic translator Alice Guthrie got frustrated with what she's been seeing in the British press.
There was this one particular phrase that was going round at the time about it being a noun that, according to how it was conjugated, meant different things. Well, you know, we know as linguists that nouns don't get conjugated, verbs get conjugated.
Alice wrote an interesting article dissecting the term for the online website FreeWord. And I called her up to talk about it. And before we even got into discussing what the term actually means, there was the simple clarification of, well, pronunciation. First, how do you pronounce it correctly?
So it's Daesh. It's hard to say because it has the letter Ayn. The letter Ayn, which we often write in English with using an apostrophe. So when you see those words that have an apostrophe in the middle of them or the start of them, that's usually a transliteration of Ayn, which is also the like if you're saying Arab in Arabic, you'd say Arabi. Yeah, it's that sound. So that's in the middle. So it's Daesh.
Uh-huh. So Daesh.
Yeah,
so
that was like good.
The way, well, thank you. And what exactly, if you could just tell me, does Daesh exactly mean?
It is actually just the acronym of the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria in Arabic. Those words, that phrase in Arabic. So that in Arabic is Ad-Dawla al-Islamiyya fil Iraq wa Sham, which, if you take that as an acronym, becomes Daesh. So actually, that's what's strange about it. It is actually just the Arabic equivalent of saying ISIS or ISIL or IS.
And so if it's just basically the same as saying ISIS or ISIL or IS, what about this particular acronym? Why does Daesh or ISIL or ISIS or IS dislike this acronym so very much?
There's a couple of reasons. First of all, you have to understand that acronyms are not usually used in Arabic. So, you know, we're very used to using acronyms in all sorts of ways across Anglophone culture, but that really doesn't happen in Arabophone linguistic culture. So it's like very strange to have a word that's been created, a new odd-sounding word that's been created. So that's one reason.
Is that seen as a bad thing, having a new acronym? Is it seen kind of as a taking away power?
Any acronym that was ever created for anything, it wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. But because it's a made-up word and you can hear that it's a made-up word, it sounds like a challenge to ISIS's legitimacy as an organization. You know, it's kind of like you've got a nonsensical made-up name for something that implies that it's a nonsensical made-up organization or, you know, phenomenon. It's really a dismissal of their aspirations to define Islamic practice and to be seen as a state. But that's not just because it's an acronym. The acronym is like one prong of why it's like that. The other reason that the word has such significance is It's like slightly a play on words because it sounds quite a lot like das, which is only one letter different with s rather than sh at the end. And that means something that's crushing underfoot or trampling. So it's kind of painfully close to being a description in that way. That, incidentally, is one of the things that's caused so much confusion in the media.
Alice actually interviewed the Syrian activist who coined the term.
Khalid al-Hajj Saleh. He is an activist originally from Raqqa, which was the first stronghold of ISIS in Syria, the first city that they occupied and made their headquarters from. So obviously, I think what's really important in the whole Daesh narrative, as in the word, you know, when we're talking about the word, is to remember that the activists in Syria were the first and main victims. I mean, the people of Syria, right? But they were the people who were trying to fight Daesh from the beginning and still are. And so they came up with this term because they really wanted a way to get around referring to them as a state, because they don't see them as a state, and Islamic, because they don't see them as Islamic. And they really feel, and I agree, that it's very important that the victims choose the name, not the criminal.
Khaled also told Alice that another reason why the name works is that it evokes a dark period in history.
There's something about the actual word Daesh that has kind of connotations from the Dark Ages. It sounds like a word from al-Jahiliya, the age of ignorance, the pre-Islamic times. It really sounds like some kind of monstrous creature sort of bursting back out from deep depths of time, which is in many ways how they see Daesh, sort of marauding band of monsters coming from a different time and place. It's hard to believe that people could really think that that's a rational or useful way to act, right, when we see what they're doing. So that's very much the statement that the Syrian activists are making by using this word.
What about the word evokes that? The sound, the structure, what about that particular word evokes this time period, these monsters, this kind of going back into a dark period?
It's just really the sound of it. That's what I'm told, that it has those kind of,
feelings. Those
connotations from the sound and formation of the word.
Huh. Khaled?
Khaled, yeah.
How did he sort of disseminate this word? When they came up with the term, how did he disseminate the word? And what does he think about the West and the way leaders have taken many different forms of calling it ISIS?
I asked him that question. He said that, you know, they were absolutely pleased that it was gaining currency. The only thing that I think had been difficult for them and complex for them was when Bashar al-Assad himself took the term on as activists working diligently against that Syrian dictator. They were kind of shocked that they would be even in that kind of level of communication with him, I think, that as in, you know, him taking on their term. I think it's probably a bit mixed for them, seeing as nobody is acknowledging that this word comes from them, and that I feel a bit sad that, you know, it feels like part of the pattern, really, of the Syrian activists and the Syrian resistance not being acknowledged and not being celebrated on a global stage. With that in mind, I suppose it's not surprising that we don't know that the word came from them. I was really amazed to find that quite across the board in the British press, the broadsheet press, some kind of weird source, some misinformed source, had been taken on by all of them. The explanation of what Daesh meant was garbled. It made no sense linguistically.
What were you seeing? What was garbled?
There was some understanding of it being an acronym, but there was this one particular phrase that was going round at the time about it being a noun that, according to how it was conjugated, meant different things. Well, you know, we know as linguists that nouns don't get conjugated, verbs get conjugated. So it was strange and sad to me that this had been recycled, regurgitated so many times with nobody picking up on that. Occasionally different outlets would add their own little flourish, such as it's especially offensive in Lebanon. I mean, that sounds suspiciously like someone's daydream, you know. But this could be presented in really quite serious articles. And I suspected that this would not go on if it was a country that was perceived as closer to home. And obviously this kind of dichotomy between them and us is something that's being examined a lot this week, you know, on social media in the wake of the Paris atrocities, but the relative silence about the bombings in Beirut that happened at the same time.
Right.
And so, you know, I think there's a lot of discomfort around the age-old separation of a distant other and a supposed self, which can sound like kind of very dry theory, but I think it's things like the use of this word and the interpretation of this word that actually make clear just how much that's still going on.
You wrote in your article, you said that satire is a crucial weapon in the fight against this group. And then you wrote that in the satirical Arab media, there have been several diminutives of the word that have also gone viral. And I was curious about what diminutives have you seen that have gone viral in the Arab world?
Arabic, very similarly to how Spanish does, uses diminutives. One of the many ways it uses diminutives is to kind of patronize and belittle, as you might imagine, from a diminutive. So Daesh becomes Da'dush, which would be like the little Daesh. That is kind of used when referring to somebody who's, you know, a little bit of a supporter, maybe from afar, and somehow giving them a kind of babyish version of the word is, you know, just even more dismissive of any kind of claim to
statehood,
well, macho power or potency or anything, really.
Are there other examples of how it's been used?
Yes, because Arabic is, as a language, this wonderfully structured, almost sort of algebraic language, where the vast majority of Arabic words are made from three consonants that we call the root. You can sort of bolt on, a bit like Lego, different formations to always have the same kind of meaning. So what I mean by that is, for example, fa'ala, three letters, F, A, and L, would be the verb fa'ala, to do or make. But you could then insert into that a certain pattern which would make the subject be formed. So if you insert an A, F-A-A-L, fa'il would be the doer, the subject, the person who does, the maker. You could do that same operation to any three root letters. It means that once you've got this crazy word, Daesh, this made-up word, you can do other things with it because everybody knows the patterns of how you make it into the one that tramples or the one that's been trampled or the plural tramplers or, you know, whatever it might be. Once Daesh has become this word, this funny neologism that everyone finds so funny on the one side or so offensive on the other side, you can then do other things with it. Hence, as I was saying, Da'dush, the little Daeshi, but also making plurals out of it, making singulars out of it. And the more this is done, the less respectful it seems. The more this is done, the further you're getting from the name that is chosen by the organisation, which has the very formal, pompous-sounding old classical Arabic, and which crucially is referring to them as a state, which they're not, and as Islamic, which they're not. The further people can go with these creative meanderings of this funny, silly word, the further they're getting from that proper name.
By abstracting it and turning it into a word and then playing around with that word, it has taken all the power out of this phrase, essentially.
Would that it were more powerful, right? Like, at the end of the day, we are only talking about naming. Yes, the satire is really important, maybe more as a sanity strategy than an actual act of resistance. I mean, the satire is all very well, but we are dealing with something so huge and so serious here that we need more than satire to stand up to it.
Arabic translator Alice Guthrie. I'll post her article and Zeba Khan's article in the notes for this podcast at pri.org/language. And that's all for this quick slapdash edition of The World in Words. My thoughts are with the folks in Paris and Beirut. You can find us on Twitter at LingoPod. I'm at Porzuki, that's P-O-R-Z-U-C-K-I. As always, thank you for listening.
Soundworks.
Soundworks
from PRI.